Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Slam Fire Radio for episode 52 for the week of April. How do we do this? Did we say the show number, then the date? Or the
you
date?
Are rusty.
It's been a listen. I've been MIA. It's been a while. So anyway, it's April 11th. It's episode 52. It's Slam Action Radio.
Yeah, close enough.
I'm one of your hosts, Trevor the Frelate, aka Ron Burgundy. Don't you forget it. That'll come up again later. I didn't mean to be quite that angry, but...
It's good. No, I like the anger. Let the anger flow from within. Come to the dark side.
Yeah, that's right. Let the hate flow through you. I'm a recruiter now, if you want to sign up for the dark
Apparently, side. Apparently, so am I. I got a recruiting poster myself.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Who are you, by the way?
Oh, Matthew McClatchy, the warning shot, something or other.
They've been prevalent in the media lately, I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's been unfortunate. They shouldn't be listening to me. I'm telling you, it's wrong. even though I will fight it to the last my dying breath. I'll shoot warning shots over your head as I'm attacked.
With bird shot.
With bird shot.
Who else do we have with us?
Some dude named Owen who just had a tag along.
The warrior. The warrior's not a tag along. You were like you so everybody's been doing this how long would I survive in the zombie apocalypse quiz this week?
Yes.
And Owen got 101 out of 100.
Like, 101 out of 100.
I don't think it was quite that.
It's pretty cool. I only made it a year the first time, so I went out and I learned some skills. I actually am considering horseback riding.
Right. Just so that you can survive the whole apocalypse instead of just a year.
Exactly. It's one of those things that checks off the list. Hey, but you know, after all the gun runs out, and if the horses are still alive, you don't know how to ride them, you're at a disadvantage. I have another use for them. I'm comfortable eating horse meat.
Horse is delicious, from what I hear.
Yeah. My brother-in-law ate it. He said it was like really sweet cow. I'm like, well, that makes sense, because they kind of are just like a step up on the IQ scale to a cow. They look a little better. They probably taste a little better, too.
Probably.
Anyway, Matthew, save us. What did you do this week in guns? Because we're talking about eating horses.
No, I like where this discussion's going.
If Carl's not around to choke it for you, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an old one. I hadn't remembered that. That's a good one.
Yeah, well, I'm old, so...
Choking the horse. Yeah, or unicorn, if you will. Anyway, so I did take the AR back out to the range because I've been having this ongoing saga with my piece of crap scope, and as you can tell, I'm back on the piece of crap wagon. So I've been back and forth now a couple of weeks.
It's a lot of effort for an $80 optic.
It really is. It's a lot of effort. Now, it seems like a lot of effort, but when you remember that I do only get to the range once or twice a week, I mean, really, this is bound to play itself out over a month because it takes me that long to actually go through all the steps. But anyway.
It really, and it only cost you a case of beer.
The second time.
The second time.
Yeah, I bought it the first time and then sold it to you and then sold it back. And anyway, whatever. Want it back?
I sold an optic for a case of beer. That really sounds bad.
You can have it if you want it, really.
Do I have to give you a case of beer?
No, I don't like beer. Ginger ale maybe, but anyway. I think we're just going to end up having to shoot it now because it's done. It's garbage.
Do what Chris Anderson
suggested. Yeah, shoot through it. I'm going to try that.
Do the old sniper in the scope shot.
Yeah. Yeah, is it bulletproof? Episode 3 coming up.
There you go.
So anyway, back out to the range with it. And again, printing some really nice groups, but they wander. I'll shoot 5, and then the next 5 are 3 inches to the right, and the next 5 are 3 inches low. Like it, and the lens inside that I had tightened had worked itself loose in a matter of 15 shots. So it's not fixable. It's got a loose lens. It won't tighten down properly. So it's done. But anyway, so I'm now on the hunt again for an optic, and I think I have settled on what I want.
Is it the Burris MTAC?
It is not. No, it is actually an EOTech 512.
Oh, yeah, that's what I got.
That's what I'm thinking. Sorry?
You want to borrow mine when you come up? You take it back with you for a little while and try it out, see if you really, really like it before you spend the money?
That's very generous of you. Yeah, I would love to do that.
Cool.
As long as that doesn't throw off anything that you need it for or anything. Or even if I just try it out while I'm there, I'd be happy with that.
All right. Well, we can take it off of mine and throw it on yours. And
sure. Yeah, we'll figure something out there. But what I really like about it is that it has the one MOA dot in the middle instead of like a 6.5 or 7 MOA dot.
It's a 60 and a 1, right?
That's right. 65 and a 1, actually.
Oh,
but
65?
Yeah. So, yeah, you can get really precise shots with it. I really don't like regular red dots where they have, I mean, it's not that big of a dot, but still, it does cover 6 to 8 inches of your target at 100 yards, which, you know, no big deal if you're just shooting people. You know, but if you wanted to...
I believe the term is man-sized target.
Oh, right. I knew it was something like that. You know, I was thinking, obviously, in more of a self-defense situation or, you know, maybe if you were overseas in the sandbox or something like that.
I understand, but you still don't sight in on people. You sight in on man-sized target.
Oh, well, there's my problem.
Yeah. Coach for Latte to the rescue again. Doing it wrong.
Our range membership's really going to grow now that you've mentioned that.
And the insurance will probably come down.
Probably less than a couple hundred grand a year now. That'll be good. Yeah, no, so anyway, I think that's what I've settled on. I do really like it. The downside to it that I can find really is the battery life. It's 1,000 hours on lithium batteries as opposed to, you know, 50,000 hours on a same battery for a aim point. But, you know, 1,000 hours is still a long time. And when you're talking about easily, findable batteries, like there's
that's
not like...
That's why I chose it, Matthew.
Yeah.
I didn't want one of the optics that had a
the CR123s.
Yeah, you had to hunt for. They're expensive. Yep. And EOTech has an auto shutoff. So
it does, yeah. It's 8 hours, which isn't bad.
Oh, I thought it was 6.
Well, maybe according to the...
on this one and 6 on other ones.
Could be. But anyway... Yeah, so anyway, no, I think that's the optic for me. I like it. At least I think I like it. I like the specs on it. I was reading a review. A guy took an aim point, Comp M4, I believe, and the EOTech 512, and did a head-to-head. And the pro for the EOTech was a smaller MOA dot, and the pro for the aim point was a battery life. And he said, other than that, it's a toss-up. Whichever one you want, pick on that. He said he took them from, he dropped them from 3 feet onto concrete, and when that did nothing, he whipped them onto concrete as hard as he could, didn't break the glass. He pounded nails into wood with them. He left them overnight in water. He froze them. He did all kinds of things. He took them off, put them back on the rifle, held their zero, no problem. He said, you can't destroy these scopes unless you shoot them. So,
I've got two pros for the EOTech over the aim point that maybe he anyway,
I think I know one of them, but go ahead.
Cost. The EOTechs are cheaper.
You're right.
And better field of view in the EOTech.
That's the one I thought you were going to go with. You're right, too. Yeah, you have much better field of view, better peripheral vision and whatnot.
And I like the reticle.
I do, too.
The reticle works, you know. Yeah. Up close, just get it in the big circle.
That's right.
Up far, use the dot.
Yep.
And the EOTech magnifier, you know, it's... you can get the EOTech and the EOTech magnifier for well under $1,000.
Yep.
Like, I've seen them. The best I've seen so far, I could have walked away with a set from the Calgary Gun Show last year for $800.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Cool. So, anyway, sorry?
What else did you do? You shoot something?
Yeah, well, I went crow hunting.
Did you go hunting?
No, I actually hunting. I did what Owen did. Actual hunting. I brought my shotgun instead of my .22. And I went to where I found crows and then drove down the road and got my crow calls out and called them. And sure enough, just like Owen said, a couple of scouts came. They got within sight of me. They saw me, sounded the alarm, and wheeled about. So I fired a couple shots at them anyway. I mean, I didn't expect to hit them, and I didn't, and that's okay. But I did fire a couple of shots. And then the golden eagle flew up over a tree right beside where the crows were. And I thought, well, maybe I should stop shooting.
Yeah.
Because, well, that's a golden eagle.
Exactly.
I do not believe they're on the varmint list here in New Brunswick.
Yeah.
So I figured I better pack her up for the day. And so I did. So no crows for me. But one I actually did stop shooting at. I think I might have had one more shot at him. But he made me laugh. I had to just let him go. I don't know if you guys remember the TV show. And I don't even remember.
That in mind. if Matthew's pointing a gun at you, all you have to do is make him laugh.
That's right, and I'll let you go. Or fire a warning shot. But anyway, it was a TV show about being in Afghanistan or Iraq, I don't remember, and there was this journalist embedded with this squad, and they were running down this alley, and you know, they were running one at a time because there was sniper fire on this alley, and so, you know, each of the squad was going straight, just running from door to door, and the reporter runs out and he starts doing the serpentine. He starts running back and forth, left and right, and the whole squad's just laughing their butts off at him because, well, he's being a moron. And
gonna die.
Well, he didn't. But anyway, they're like, just run in a straight line, man. People can bullets run faster than you can turn. Just run in a straight line. Anyway, this crow took off. I started shooting at him, and I swear he flew a serpentine back and forth. Just turned left, turned right, and all I could see was that stupid reporter running down that alley, and I just started laughing. So I had to let him go. But there was that, and then today I finally decided to go check the mail, and lo and behold, the clone trooper has come through and provided, well, I believe each of us, but seeing as I got to go first, I get to say it first, a poster. And it's of Trevor's favorite gun, by the way.
I had to wash mine because I threw up on it when I opened it up.
Not your favorite gun?
Me?
Matthew.
Mine? The 1911?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say favorite would be the adjective I'd use to describe the 1911 for me, but maybe not. Thank you, Phil. I appreciate the poster, and I will put it somewhere.
I put mine somewhere, all right. Honey, we've replenished the toilet paper in the bathroom. Lemonade, so it's going to last a while.
See, last week.
Absorbent.
Last week, we did our first test run. Well, not our first test run, but our first successful test run of recording a live show using Google Plus. And Filthy was kind of discouraged that Owen didn't have a gun poster in his background. And so
he still doesn't yet
and won't. But anyway, so he was generous enough to send out these really cool posters, and I am going to put it up. I do like the way that the picture's done. I don't care if I like 1911s or not. It's a cool picture, so thank you.
First thing was I did, Matthew. I counted all the parts.
To see if they were more or less than a Glock?
The first thing I did was flip it over and go, I wonder if there's something on the back.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw a picture of a Glock on the back and put it up instead.
Well, see, I'm just waiting until I actually get one of a Glock, and then I'll put the 1911 one up on the wall and put the Glock one over top of it.
Yeah.
There you go. Owen, what did you do this week? Yeah.
Well, what did I do this week? Not a heck of a lot, but I did mount a couple of red dot sights on a couple of different rifles.
Oh, so you did get those ones?
I did, yes. And so I have the Bushnell Trophy red dot on the tiny AR, the baby AR. And I guess I'm going to have to get a couple of higher scope rings for it, because it just sits a little bit too low. This is on the AR, so it sits just a little too low to be really comfortable. You can do it if you really squish your face down against the stock, you can see through it, but it's just not comfortable for me,
right,
or Amy. So I have to get a couple higher, a little taller rings for that. But other than that, it's going to work great. It looks good. Gun poster from Filthy, but Matthew's already talked about that, so I won't beat that dead horse. And the only other thing is I bought a new gun.
Oh, cool.
From what?
But not for me. That's the sad part.
Oh, you bought it for somebody else? Was it me? Did you buy it for me?
No, I didn't. I bought it for a friend of mine. He's going to get his restricted course, I think, this weekend. But he found a gun that he wanted to buy, so he sent me the money, and I bought it, and I'll hold it until he gets his RPAL.
What'd he buy? And,
I don't even remember exactly what it is. It's a Grand Power?
Oh, no way!
Okay, so... Trevor, this guy is like one of your new groupies.
Okay.
Remember the guy who you insulted him?
I know,
he's
Mark
son?
Price.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and his son Justice, coolest name in the world.
Yeah.
his kid's going to be the next great Canadian gunsmith. Yeah, Mark and I go, yeah. Mark's awesome. Well, you should be nice to
listens,
Mark.
He listens to your action shooting radio podcast. Evidently, because you were talking about this on that show, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't listen to that episode, but So he you know, sends me a message the next day. He goes, "What do you think about this?" And I was like, "I don't know, really know much about the gun, but it, you know, decent price and whatever." So he's like, "Well, I don't have my RPAL yet, but would you buy it and then just hold it for me and you can play around with it, you know, while I'm waiting for my paperwork and blah blah blah. I'll come up and shoot it." I was like, "Yeah, that's no problem." So he said, "Well, I'll send you an EMT." I said, "Great." So I went online, bought it, and then like 10 minutes later, we had the whole, he sent me the EMT, cashed it, bought it, was on the way, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So, anyway. So
did he go with the Grand Power Excalibur?
I'm going to have to look it up now because I don't even know exactly what it was.
If it was the same one that I had on loan from Dave Copping, it is the Excalibur, the Grand Power Excalibur, which is the, you know, basically their factory cheat gun for production division, right? It's the same idea as a Shadow or a M&P Pro. It's that kind of category of gun. Now, Grand Power also makes a carry pistol with the same frame but a shorter slide and barrel, which would be like a Glock 17 kind of thing.
Okay. I think that might be what it is, but I'm not 100% sure. So, okay.
Well, let me ask you this. Was it in the $600 range or the $900 range?
Less than that.
Oh, then it's
less than 600 then.
Oh, then it's probably the K100. I'm calling it six with tax and shipping and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was the K100.
Yeah. Awesome. But. Okay, cool.
So that's a duty style handgun then.
Yes.
Cool.
Matthew, you and I were trying to hook up so you could come over here and test out the Grand Power.
Right.
And then I think I missed the show where I was going to do the review on it, maybe?
Yeah, you were going to talk about it a little bit, and I don't think you ever did manage to get to do that. But
okay, yeah, so it's the Grand Power K100 Basic Mark 7, and he got it for $400.
That's a good price.
That's a lot of gun for $400.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good deal.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Was that a used price?
Mm-mm. Brand new.
Holy. That's a lot of gun for $400.
It really is. That's nice.
Yep. Oh my.
So I think anyway, I don't know a lot about these guns or anything, but it looked like a pretty decent gun. So I'm looking forward to getting this here and
shooting, you know, it. Getting shooting player. Somebody else's gun.
Yeah, he basically said I could do whatever I wanted with it while it was here, so
I'll tell you real quick.
What we were trying to figure out was, because I'm not overly familiar with double action, single action in IPSC, this will be a production gun, correct?
Yes.
And it has a manual safety. I think it has a manual safety.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah.
So is he going to have? He's going to have to start cocked and locked, correct?
Yes.
If he shoots down. Standard,
he's going to shoot production. He's going to shoot production. He's got to lower the hammer like you would on a CZ. You're an RO. Right. You know this.
Okay, well, that's what I thought. You had your first shot had to be double action.
That's right.
It doesn't have a decocking lever, so
nope.
You just got to put it down with your thumb carefully.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, that he had to shoot the first round had to be double action.
That's right.
I like the Jody Warren approach for dropping the hammer, rather than try and hold it between his finger and his thumb or put his thumb over the hammer. Jody Warren uses his thumb and places it between, he takes his weak hand thumb, places it between the firing pin and the hammer, pushes it against the hammer and pulls the trigger, and then slowly rolls his thumb out of there.
Yeah, that's how I do it with my 1911, with that GSG 1911.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I lower the hammer on that.
Yeah, you don't want that to slip whenever you're in an IPSC match, because that DQs you.
Yep, you're done. We had one happen at the indoor match in Halifax.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right, anyway. No, that was pretty much it for me.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll go ahead with what I did.
That's good, because it's your turn.
Yeah, that'll work out well then. It depends. If the listeners listen to both podcasts that I'm on and or follow me on Facebook, they'll know that I almost bled out to death. And actually, you know what? All jokes aside, it was pretty scary. And everybody should have a skill list. And they should be checking things off their list of skills that they want to learn to make themselves a better person and more well-rounded. And if you don't have first aid...
get first aid. First aid's important.
Yeah. Yeah. And I tried all the tricks I knew from my first aid training over the many years.
Did they work?
And they did not work. No.
So then why are you telling people to learn first aid if it didn't work?
Because mine was an extreme case, and at least I was able to you know, keep trying things.
Exactly. No, I joke, but you're right. Even if what you're doing isn't working, at least you're doing something and not freaking out.
That's right. If you're keeping your mind occupied and busy and not getting into panic mode. I bought a T97.
Cool.
I guess, yeah.
When are you going to get it?
What'd you say, Owen?
I hate you.
when are you getting it?
Luke Giroux will have it here on either Tuesday night or Wednesday morning.
Oh, cool. So it'll be there when I come over next weekend.
It will.
Nice. I cannot wait to shoot this.
Yes, it will be here.
Out in the woods, legally, because it's not restricted.
Yeah, which reminds me, I got to get my varmint license. So, because it's a trunk gun. It's getting tossed in the trunk with a couple of Press Check Adventure mags, and it's just going to stay there, secured legally for leave whatever the guidelines say for leaving a gun in a vehicle unattended. It's just going to stay there until I get a few things paid off. Thunderbird Tactical Ranch, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, because I forgot about that when I bought this gun. Sorry, Mr. Right. Shaw. Anyway, I'll be soon putting a flat top upper on it, and then if I can get some, you know, at least if I get at least mil spec accuracy out of it.
So 2 MOA at 100.
Yeah.
Wait, at 100. That's just silly. 2 MOA, period.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, yeah. That's right. Anyway, so if I can get MOA out of it, then I'll also, the same company that makes the aluminum upper, they are the T97.ca, same ones that make the M14.ca, make the black feather. They're currently working on a lower as well.
So you'll be able to... Oh, you'll still need to buy a T97, though, in order to incorporate this, because they're not going to be selling all the internals.
No, that's right. It's just an upper handguard and a lower handguard.
Right.
So, anyway, I bought it from Mo, so big shout-out to Mo. I got it for $850, so I thought that was a good price.
That is a good price. It's a very good price.
Yeah. So, what else? I finalized some details for a Black Badge course in the Miramichi. I went to the club's mailbox today. And all the boys from there, she sent me their filled out participant information form and their checks.
Cool.
Also, in upcoming events, we'll talk about the multi-gun match. The Versamax tickets are on sale. So last year, Rescuers Gun Club sold tickets on a day on Defense AR, and the bum Luke Giroux bought it.
Yep.
And lucky for everybody, he bought tickets on the Versamax today. So we're selling a Versamax this year to go along with SummerSlam at the Rescuers Gun Club, $10 a piece or 3 for $20, sponsored by Freedom Ventures out of Halifax. And this is a Versamax that is ready to go for 3-gun competition. It comes with a magazine tube extension. It comes with an extended charging handle. It already has a fiber optic sight on it, 26-inch barrel. It's not your rampy semi-automatic hunting gun. It's made to run a gun. And if you want tickets, you can send an EMT to rescuersgunclub@gmail.com and a follow-up email with your pertinent information, address, and the telephone number and password to the EMT. Today, I had a phone call with a personal friend of mine who works at the firearms office in the Miramichi. Now, the registry is in Ottawa, but the firearms center that handles other things other than the registry is in the Miramichi.
Even though we still call the Miramichi to register our restricted firearms?
No.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Cool. So they've changed that then?
Not according to her. It's always been that way. The registry is handled in Ottawa. And, well, how did she explain that?
It doesn't matter. Carry on with the important information.
They handle some of the calls, but the registry itself is in Ottawa. You're right. They do the calls, but the registry is in Ottawa.
Okay.
Okay, so I got a call from a club member who said, how do we get an unrestricted... Or how do we get an unregistered, restricted handgun legal again? It's one of those situations where there's an old guy who never bothered to get a license, who never bothered to register his guns, and we don't want the RCMP getting it. What do we do? So I said, I think I know somebody who can answer this question. I had this conversation before. Anyway, so she called me here at home tonight, and she said that it's so easy, it's a joke. They don't even want to know who owns the gun. They're only concerned about who's getting the gun.
Right.
The person getting the gun needs to have a license, an appropriate license, a gun club member, all that good stuff. And here's what you do. If you have possession of said unregistered restricted firearm, you call them and verify it over the phone. You just need to make model, serial number, and a measuring tape so you can do the barrel with the cleaning rod trick.
Yep.
Then they will look it up in their FRT system and issue you an FRT number. You then go to the internet, download a registration form, and you fill out this one particular section that's very important. It says, why are you registering this gun? In other words, why wasn't this gun registered before? And you simply indicate, I am registering it under the amnesty. So this is one amnesty that we've been saying amnesties are for criminals, but this is an amnesty that ensures people don't become criminals. They want these guns in the system, obviously.
Yeah.
And they're setting it up so that we can get them in the system without getting in trouble. They don't want to know where it came from. They only want to know that it's going into a law-abiding citizen's hands.
Right.
So I was really pumped to hear that. That means that this gun, we don't have to worry about this gun getting turned into the RCMP when the old guy dies and getting destroyed. It means that we can, you know, we can take these guns out of the closets and legally register them to ourselves without consequence.
Yep. Yeah, if you find one, then, you know, it doesn't have to be destroyed. You know, like you said, this is probably a lot more common than we think. Mm-hmm. Grandpa or, you know, whoever has old, you know, 1911 or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and there's a myth out there that, oh, that's got to be turned in right away. Not so.
No, it doesn't. No, you don't have to. As long as it's not one of the prohibited ones, you can just go ahead and register it to a lawful licensed individual, and Bob's your uncle.
She said basically there are two reasons that the gun would become not registerable, if that's a word.
Yeah.
If it is a word, maybe Jason Philp can tell me how to spell it. Thanks for being a good sport, Mr. Philp and Kyle. Anyway, that's a way inside joke. If the serial number comes back that the gun was reported stolen.
Right.
And if it turns out to be a prohib.
Right. So that's it.
Yeah. And even if it is a prohib, then the person getting it, if they have prohib status, they're still good to go.
Yeah, it can still go to a prohibited person.
Yeah.
A prohibited person.
Like Owen. Owen's a prohibited person.
Yeah, definitely.
You and I were just restricted.
We're just restricted, yeah.
All right. Let's jump into upcoming events / news.
Sure.
We have a Slam Fire Radio Flyer going on again, kind of contest thing. Matthew, I'll let you talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Basically, on the front page of our website, which is slamfireradio.com.
I'll ask you to talk about it.
It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you like. I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Good.
There's a link there, a little image of this flyer. And if you click on it, it'll give you a full resolution image that you can go ahead and print off. And then you go and post that somewhere public, wherever you like. I mean, preferably at your gun store or your gun range or, you know, public library if you like. I don't care.
The liberal headquarters office.
Wherever you like. Anyway, take a picture of yourself posting it. Send it to us. Just post it on our Facebook wall if you are Facebook inclined. And if not, you can just email it to us. And everybody who responds with a picture of themselves posting up a flyer, your name goes into the draw. And the winner gets airtime here with us on the show. You can talk about whatever you like. So
gun-related.
Gun-related, yes. So, you know, come on. And if you have nothing to talk about, don't worry. Come on, just make fun of us like everybody else does.
Just be like Owen. Just sit in the background. And death by a thousand cuts. Just right. Let us have it every once in a while, surgically.
Yeah, just stick the skewer in just a little bit deeper and twist it. So
cool. Yeah, all right.
Something to help us spread the word about Slamfire a little bit more.
Yeah, because we're not very good at publicizing ourselves.
We're not very good. We've been told off that we should be doing this better. So here's our attempt. It's feeble. But it is an attempt.
And we're not even doing anything. We're asking you to do it for us.
Yes.
Classic.
Yes.
Help publicize us because we're too lazy.
That's basically it.
And we won't even give you anything. We'll ask you to show up.
That's right. Oh. You got to show up and, yeah.
We're the awfulest kind of men. I love it. T-shirt orders. It's all done, right? And we got one medium black left.
One medium black left. That's it. So if you want a medium black, please send me an email. Tell me you want it, and we can stop talking about these T-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I did find one other extra large from the original run. Now, this isn't a T-shirt so much as it's a full sleeve, like full-length sleeve kind of shirt.
I don't really
know how to describe it. Yeah, apparently
it's a long sleeve shirt.
It's a long sleeve shirt. Sure.
It's not a T-shirt. It's a long sleeve shirt.
I didn't. Whatever. Anyway, I've got one. Like I said, it's of the original run, so it doesn't have the squirrel on the back. It has the old logo. Anyway, it's available, and I'm not quite sure what we should do with this. I'm kind of thinking we raffle it off.
How you got it?
I need to get you gave it to me.
Once.
You gave it to me. So I think we raffle it off, and all the funds, like we do, not raffle it off, we auction it off, put it on Facebook, and the highest bidder gets it, and all the funds go directly to our charity this year.
That's a great idea.
So one of a kind, right?
It is literally the only t-shirt
Less what it cost me for it.
Well, it's not just not a t-shirt, it's the only long sleeve shirt that was done, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yep. That's right.
It's a one of a kind, and we'll autograph it. With paint markers.
Black paint markers on a black t-shirt.
Yes.
An invisible ink.
Invisible ink, definitely. But anyway, I think that's a good idea. So what I'll do is I will take a picture of it, and I will post it on our Facebook wall on Slamfire, and then you guys, whoever wants it, go put bids on it. Highest bid gets it, and we'll give you, what, a couple weeks?
Matthew, I also have, from the original run, a double extra large black t-shirt here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're what's left over from the first run.
Right.
Either ones that weren't taken. Yeah, I think I know who this one was for, and he wasn't able to buy it. So we'll sell this one if somebody wants it. Somebody wants an original run, double extra large, black t-shirt.
Sure.
I'll give that to Matthew when he's here on the weekend.
All right. So there you go. So actually, we had two other people asking for the double XL that I just sold. So maybe one of them, whoever gets back to me first, can have that one if they want it. Like I said, it's the original run, so it's a little bit different, but it's still a cool t-shirt.
And we'll sell this one for $20 since it's the original run.
All right, $20 it is. We'll take a loss.
No, we're not taking a loss on it.
Yeah, I will. That's all right, though.
No,
carry on with the next thing.
I'll explain it to you later.
Okay.
All right. Next thing, charity shoot, June 28th at the Rescue Gun Club. Special guest, Steve Lee. We'll have a full day of shooting, including trap, small bore, silhouette, rifle, or as Selch and Noel calls them, metal benums. rifle shooting and an Ipsic style mini match. The reason we're calling an Ipsic style mini match is because you do not need to have a black badge to shoot it. You just need to have a handgun of any caliber you want because it's an Ipsic style. You can run it with a 22 if you like, but your scores won't count. We will make fun of you. And it's kind of like bringing a knife to a gunfight, isn't it? A 22?
Kind of.
Yeah.
If your knife is something that shoots 40 grain projectiles at 1,280 feet per second, then I guess yes. It's like bringing a knife.
How did I know you would come to the 22 defense? If you can get that kind of velocity out of a 22 handgun, I tell me where to buy it.
You're right. That is rifle velocities. We are talking probably only about 980 feet per second, but it's still going to hurt.
Hey, that's the same speed as a 45.
Yeah, but a tenth the weight.
Anyway, squirrel. Get a holster that covers the trigger grip. All the funds collected will be donated to the Laurentides Autism Foundation in Quebec. They support families with autistic children, so it's a very important charity. So important, I allowed myself to be thrown over a railing into the snow. Practical Armed... laugh, Owen, laugh.
It was funny.
Practical Armed Response Academy shooting course.
This is full. No, it's not. There's one space available.
Oh, there's one space available. August 2nd and 3rd. Day one is a defensive handgun course with Mag 40 instructor Tommy Nelson of the Gun Dudes. Day two is an Ipsic Club level match featuring SummerSlam's best stages. There's one space currently available. Payment is due now. For $200. If you need a refund, and this applies to anyone, you have to refund before the 1st of July in order to receive that said refund. Otherwise, it's ours because we need it to cover the expenses.
Yep.
Multi-gun match. Registration is now open. We're taking pre-registration for this. We're only taking 80 competitors. The dates are the 16th and 17th of August. Cost is $40, provided you pay before the 15th of July. Afterwards, it goes up by $10. $40 for adults, $30 for juniors. And pre-registration, as I said, is required. The registration form can be found both on Facebook, on the Rescuers Gun Club's website, or Facebook page, and on the Rescuers Gun Club website under forums, or forms. Forms, not forums.
All forums.
Right. Owen, wake up and take the last one, please.
Thunderbird Tactical Carbine Clinic. Master Instructor Daniel Shaw of Gunfighter Cast is going to be here in the Great White North. October 11th, 12 people. I believe it is full now.
It is full, yes. And everybody has paid, sort of.
Except. Yes.
Actually, no, there is one other person who hasn't paid yet. I'm not going to mention his name because
He's not a host?
Because he's not a host, and I like him, unlike the other people's names I mention regularly, Trevor and Owen, who haven't paid yet for their course.
But I did buy a T97.
Yes, you did.
And if I don't sell it before then, maybe I'll run it in this course.
That'd be cool.
No,
that would be kind of cool, actually. So, yeah, payment is due ASAP for the couple people left that haven't paid. And, yes, when I get paid, you'll get paid. How's that sound?
Beauty. I like it.
Cancellation date for refund is September 1st. And, yeah, 400 rounds for people who don't know who are coming.
Awesome.
Cool. So, Matthew, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Sure. Me too, very much.
Yep.
I think I'm looking forward to the pub crawl with Daniel as much as the time on the range.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so I think if anybody wants to take part in a pub crawl, we can make that happen. But there's also supposed to be a soiree at my place, isn't there?
Yes.
Right. That's what it says.
Okay.
Still don't know what that is, but I guess I'm going. Do I wear a toga or something? Like what? What am I supposed to do? A kilt.
Wear a kilt, and there will be Dr. Pepper, warm Dr. Pepper on hand.
I'm there. No worries.
I don't think soiree is Scottish.
No, me either.
All right, then wear.
I'm pretty sure it's French. I'll bring a white flag and a rifle with no ammo in it, and I'll drop it before I come in.
Stole all of the funny things I was going to say.
Sorry, man.
And then we'll put it for sale. Right. French rifle, never fired, only dropped once.
Yeah.
That's why I bought the French ordnance that I have.
Lightly awesome. Used. Well, lightly dropped, really.
Hi, everyone. Chris Anderson here to announce a great event taking place in Toronto. The event is called, wait for it, the Spring Swiss Arms Fork It Over Fundraiser. This is a non-profit event. All proceeds go to the Swiss Arms Reclassification Challenge. The date of the event, April 26, 2014. The start time, 5:30 p.m. The address, 6 Eugene Street in Toronto. Head over to www.thebks.ca. That takes you to the website for the banquet hall, and you can order tickets over the phone or by email. Ticket price, $100. Now you're wondering, Chris, what do I get for my $100? You get an amazing Las Vegas inspired buffet. We're talking delicious Las Vegas style excess, free parking at the venue, plus all ticket holders are entered for door prize draws. Also, keep your ticket because after the event, you can take it to Al Flaherty's outdoor store and get a free hat with your next purchase. The bar is a cash bar with proceeds going to the challenge, so eat, drink, and be merry. This is the most insanely well-stocked bar I've ever seen at a banquet hall. You will not be forced to drink cheap blended scotch here, no sir. Only the finest for our finest guests. Now, if you're getting your drink on, we have a shuttle bus service, or if you have no car, don't worry. The shuttle bus can pick you up at Lawrence Avenue West TTC station. Transportation to and from the TTC goes all through the event. But Chris, I'm a cautious guy. I want the 411 before I commit to this 416 event. No problem. Head over to chrisandersonpresents.com and click on the events tab and scroll down. It's all there, including the call number for the shuttle bus. Also, look in the reclassification forum for the thread on Canadian gun nuts. As the name suggests, this is a dinner event in a very exclusive banquet hall in the city of Toronto, and we've got a very exclusive guest speaker. Edward L. Berlew is Canada's foremost firearms law expert. He's most well known for his work on the Ian Thompson trial, which grabbed headlines all across the nation. He's also active in the shooting sports community and a longtime advocate for gun owners across Canada. And he's currently leading a class action lawsuit to fight the reclassification of the Swiss Arms series of rifles. Now, who's just around the way from the banquet hall? Al Flaherty's Outdoor Store. They've stepped up to help sponsor and support the event in a big way. A quick Google search for Al Flaherty's Outdoor Store takes you to their website. Al Flaherty's, FLAHERTY's. Head over and check it out. Great promos on the site for this month. All the good deals are on the front page. Beretta PX4 pistols and 9mm regular, $750. Now only $650. That's an awesome price. Benelli M4 shotguns with collapsing stock. Regular price just over $2,000. Going for $1,899.99. That's an amazing deal. All of the awesome deals are on the front page of the site. They supported us, so please support them. Also, a new sponsor joins the event, Mystic Precision. These guys are on the west coast of Canada, and they're sending their support cross-country to us for this event. So what do they sell? Optics, reloading supplies, accessories. Do a Google search on Mystic Precision, spelled M-Y-S-T-I-C, Precision, takes you to the website. What did they donate? A ProMag Remington 700 Precision stock. Nice. Thank you very much, Mystic Precision. We look forward to more sponsors joining in on the event as time rolls on. Now, just to avoid awkwardness, please say hi to me at the event, but if I seem distracted, it's not because I'm being disrespectful, it's because I'm helping run the event. Also, I've already got people on the internet saying they will buy me drinks. Thank you for the offer. However, due to a medical condition, I had to stop drinking more than a few sips of anything about 2 years ago. So buy a friend a drink instead. Bar proceeds go to the event. So please, buy some tickets and show up for a great time. I'm going to hit you with the info again. Date, April 26, 2014. Start time, 5:30 p.m. Tickets, $100. Address, 6 Eugene Street in Toronto. And the website to go to buy tickets in advance, www.thebks.ca. That takes you to the site for the banquet hall. Order tickets over the phone or by email. And also, there's a service rifle clinic the same day, so if you're going shooting, come for dinner afterwards. And for more event info, head over to chrisandersonpresents.com. Click on the events tab and scroll down. It's all there. I'll update you all again next week as more sponsors are added. I hope to see you at this event real soon.
Matthew, would you like to take the first news item for us, please?
Sure. This isn't really gun related so much as it's kind of
nosebleed
just
related.
No, it's not even nosebleed related. It's just sort of interesting related. Those of you who listen to the show probably know that we have spoken with Glenn Tate before, and Glenn Tate's the author of the 299 Days book series. He kind of talks about in his book about how events might unfold should the U.S. government sort of collapse. And one of the things that he talks about is ID cards for getting food, basically. They call them the F card. This is actually happening now in Venezuela. The article reads, government says this system will stop people from overbuying groceries for resale, but critics say it's the first step towards rationing. So patrons will register their fingerprints and the new ID card, it'll be linked into a computer system that monitors purchases. The food minister said that it'll sound an alarm when it detects suspicious purchasing patterns, barring people from buying the same goods every day. But he also said the cards would be voluntary, with incentives such as discounts and entry into raffles for homes and cars.
Okay, we can give away homes and cars, but we have to ration food.
Yeah, odd.
Oh, Venezuela!
So the local consumer watchdog, the National User and Consumer Alliance, invoked the specter of Cuba's struggling economy and called the ID program rationing by another name. It predicted that Venezuelans without cards would soon be barred from shopping at supermarkets altogether.
That's how it goes. Everybody else is using the card, now you have to too.
That's right. So, I mean, it's just kind of scary to see that there's a country out there that is in such dire straits that they need to ration their food. And it's funny, I'm subscribed on YouTube to a channel, CP Gray, I think it's called, and he has a friend in Venezuela, and he actually showed some footage in his last video. And his friend said, oh, it's pretty quiet today. It's actually a pretty quiet day. Only one guy got blown up with a bomb, and there's only two or three cars on fire in my front yard. Like, seriously, that's a quiet day? Like, that's what Venezuela's going through right now, and it's because they're
sounds
in
like
an
Detroit.
Economic crisis, basically. And this is going to happen in a domino-like effect across the world if things don't smarten up and soon. So, anyway, just something to kind of give you something to think about and kind of prepare for, maybe.
Good times. Well, yeah. Once again, Glenn Tate was right.
Yep, so far.
Oh, I'm really excited about this next one. Crime is down in Chicago.
Yeah, what was it they just did?
That's right. CCWs are finally in effect. So, Chicago.
Imagine that. They allow people to carry guns and the crime rate's going down? I don't get it.
Somebody should write this great book and call it More Guns Equals Less Crime.
Yes. Mr. Lott, we're calling you. Mr. Lott?
Yes. Chicago's first quarter murder total this year hits its lowest number since 1958, police say. The first 3 months of the year saw 6 fewer murders than the same time frame in 2013, and 55 fewer murders than 2012. There were 90 fewer shootings and 119 fewer shooting victims. Compared to the, there's a joke there with those numbers, I'm sure. Compared to the first quarter of 2012, there have been 222 fewer shootings and 292 fewer shooting victims. Once again, the numbers
don't quite work out, but
some warning shots in there, I'm thinking. Overall, crime is down 25% from last year. So now, and this was brought up also, of course, on the Polite Society podcast, and Rob said, had crime gone up once the CCWs were put in place, oh my heavens, the media would have went mad blood in the
They
streets.
Would have gone crazy.
The OK Corral.
Yeah,
and
this is
barely publicized.
Barely.
Yes,
now, I really hate to rain on everybody's parade.
Then don't do it. It's just that simple. Choose not to.
It should be noted that very few, my understanding is very few concealed carry permits have actually been handed out.
Oh, shut up.
This is good news.
It is.
So while these stats may not be directly related to people carrying, there is the possibility they're simply related to the threat of people carrying.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. So, the deterrent effect is already taking place, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. You know, the effect is happening, even though there may not be any more people actually carrying guns, because they only started this in January. So let's face it, they probably haven't actually issued that many. But just
if
the fact that
all.
There could be people carrying has potentially had an effect on crime. And it could just be a fluke. It's
now,
really too early. I mean, as far as statistics go, it's really too early to say.
It really is. It's encouraging to see the numbers going in the right direction already. However, I do also have to rain on the parade a little bit. I looked into this a little bit myself, and this has been, those months so far since January, the coldest and the most snow Chicago has seen in record times. So that also maybe playing a large role in this. However,
it does, because that always plays a role in crime everywhere.
Absolutely. But however, the fact is people are allowed to carry guns now and crime is not going up. It's still the opposite of what people say will happen every time. So
I'm confident we'll see this trend continue.
I think so. And I think it's important for us to keep on top of this, and we will. We will continue to report as we hear more news about Chicago. But it is good news anytime when a place introduces CCW laws. I mean, I've been arguing with somebody on Facebook recently. Thank you, Jason Philp, for putting me on to yet another argument.
I don't think Jason can look at anything gun-related on Facebook without letting us know.
That's right. Anyway, however, it has been an exercise in me kind of exercising my back and forth and my arguments and my statistics and facts and whatnot. So anyway, it has been fun and it has been a good exercise for me. But however, we were just talking about how places that introduce CCW see at least a 10% reduction in homicide, or sorry, 10% reduction in sexual assault and a 8% reduction in homicide almost right across the board, almost immediately. Those numbers aren't huge. They're not staggering, but 10% of, in Canada, there is 475,000 sexual assaults reported every year. That's all of Canada. And now bear in mind that only 8%, it's estimated, are reported to the police. So even if we just took what's reported and took 10% off of that, that's 47,000 women not being sexually assaulted. I think that says something.
Or men,
yeah, I suppose.
Because I was going to work in a joke about the time you two spent the night in the woods recently. And it
right. Yeah. Well, no, see, we had guns, so that nothing happened.
Okay.
Despite what Owen said.
Who was Little Spoon again?
Anyway, I like to see places introducing CCW for that reason alone. It just means more people are safe. It's the exact opposite of what the bleeding heart liberals want you to believe. There'll be blood in the streets. People will be shooting each other over parking spots. It just simply doesn't happen. CCW saves lives. It helps people. It has a positive effect, not a negative effect on society.
It helps to balance out the shootings that were occurring in greater numbers prior to CCW. People were getting shot over parking places but not by licensed law-abiding citizens.
That's right. Now people think twice before they pull their gun to intimidate somebody. Don't pull their gun to intimidate somebody because that other person may have a legal gun, whereas theirs is illegal. So,
Yeah. So, Mike Partridge is fast. I just got the first registered person for the three-gun match.
That is interesting because this is not live.
It's not.
This is a recorded show this week. So, Mike, amazing. Good job, buddy.
Yeah. So.
All right.
And Luke Giroux won't stop texting me about Brian Doyle. I don't.
Well, put it down. It's time to finish the show.
Okay. You take the next one anyway because it's something you put in and I don't get the context. So.
Oh, yes. Right. I forgot about this one. This is just funny. That's basically all it is. It has very little, if anything, to do with guns, but it is funny. The defense minister, this is the Canadian defense minister, Rob Nicholson, was asked on Thursday whether military exercises would continue, and his initial answer wasn't exactly expected. You see, he said, well, I just went for a run with some of our troops, and I found that some of the push-ups were hard and this and that, and then he's rambling on for about 2 or 3 minutes when somebody hands him a note. And he unfolds it, and he kind of turns red and goes, oh, military exercises, like, you know, ships sailing around and airplanes flying through. Oh, yes. No, those are important, too. Yes.
What a moron.
So, anyway, I thought that was
my opinion, they do a lot more exercising in the military.
Yeah. You know, I
the standards have dropped.
Well, they've actually just changed the standards. I actually just looked this up today because I was, anyway, whatever. I was going to join the reserves back in my high school days and didn't, evidently. But anyway, I had been applying for it. And I remember the qualifications, and I could have swore the qualifications were 40 sit-ups, 40 push-ups. There was a run that you had to do in so many minutes, and then you had to do a hand grip test.
Oh, it's half of that now.
It is actually half that, and it always was. I thought it was 40. It's 19 for men my size. So I've been doing 40 push-ups a day the last couple of weeks, thinking that was – and I'm struggling. I mean, I'm not a big guy, right? I'm struggling doing 40 push-ups. I'm thinking, man, it took me months to get to this stage. Imagine if I had actually tried to try out in the military. I never would have made it. And then I go and look it up. Oh, it was 19. Oh, well, yeah, I had that down like months ago.
Owen, to address your comment about the standard being too low. Mm-hmm. And in an employment shortage, the unemployable become employable. We don't have the numbers, first of all, in our country, and we don't have the numbers that want to join. So sadly, they don't have a lot to pick from sometimes. And if they made the standard too high, what's better? 3,000 mediocre troops or 300 really good troops? I don't know.
300 really good troops.
Yeah. Somebody's got to be cannon fodder.
Yeah, that's true, though, Trevor. You're right. We do need the cannon fodder. We need to have, like, a hierarchy of physical fitness. And if you score in the bottom 10%, I'm sorry, but we're not putting any bullets in your magazines.
Yeah.
You're just going on the front lines and basically, you know, sorry.
No, I think you really, really jeopardize the overall safety and ability of troops if you're going to lower standards. It's the same as the education system. You do nobody any benefit by lowering the standards.
You got it.
And you set people up for failure, essentially, by saying, well, you don't have to work as hard.
Yep.
You know, it's not as that important. The guy in my office, where at the school I teach at, was a former phys ed instructor for the military. That's what he did his career. And he retired before he retired. And they don't have those, like, they have civilian phys ed instructors who are not military now. Mm. They got rid of actual military instructors, and the standards are dropping off. And, you know, like, they're changing it. Instead of forcing people to meet the standards, they're changing the standards to meet the people.
This happens all the time. I'm going to tell you two stories just to kind of go along with your point, and they're both education related. And one was, we're going to reduce our recess time at lunch from 45 minutes to 15 minutes. Why is that? Because if the kids are outside for 15 minutes, there's a lot less chance they'll get in trouble than if they're out there for 45 minutes. So to which I replied, okay, so instead of holding them accountable for their behavior –
Yeah.
We're going to reduce the chance that they can misbehave instead of, like, if you can behave yourself for 15 minutes, you should be expected to be able to behave yourself for 45 minutes. Yeah. So we lowered our expectation to meet their behavior instead of raising our expectation and have their behavior meet it. The yep. other example was a teacher was selected to, and this is all hearsay, I have no proof of any of this, so I can't get in trouble with my employer. I don't even know if it happened in this province, but it did.
I like your disclaimer. Good job.
Yeah, thanks. you know what we work in. So
I know,
anyway,
I know.
In some provinces, there are provincial exams, literacy assessment exams, and if you don't pass them, you don't graduate. And when they first came out, they were actually built to have a certain failure rate into them, and they were very difficult and this, that, and the other thing. One teacher went down one time. They select teachers from across the province to go mark them, correct them. So if you fail anybody, you get called up to the front where the senior markers are, and you have to explain why you failed the student, what trait they didn't pass, or where they fell down. So the teacher was hauled to the front of the class and to the front of the room rather, and said, I failed the student on structure. There are no paragraphs in this essay. It's one long sentence. And the person said to the teacher, well, I want you to go back and I want you to look at it again. And I want you to imagine where the paragraphs would be if they were there, and then mark it again. And the teacher said, I want you to imagine me going back to my seat. And he walked out the door.
Nice.
If that's yeah. what you're going to, if that's the standard you're going to maintain, I want nothing to do with it. And he went home.
That's right.
Yeah. So, all right. Is that enough rambling? Should we get on to our main topic?
I think so. I think we can actually skip our main topic and go right into listener feedback, because we're down to just about half hour left.
Oh, man. Okay. So the first one comes to us from Don. He says, hey, Canucks. This is going to be... this is going to be long-winded, so you might not want to have... Oh,
I'm glad you didn't read that beforehand.
Don, I'm going to drag this out and make it painful because you sure are a douche.
He finishes a sentence saying, better not have Trevor read this one. It's funnier for the listeners who don't... Yeah, you didn't read it, there. I don't think. Once you get there, it'll be funny. Keep
going. I'm trying. This is going to be long-winded, so you might not have Trevor read this one. In your last episode, you mentioned needing suggestions for keeping the dust down when cleaning brass. This again, honestly?
Here we go again.
I use crushed walnut media and a tablespoon of Dillon polish when I clean my brass in a vibratory cleaner. I also put in a used dryer sheet. I did try the dryer sheet trick once, actually, which soaks up all of the dust. I disagree. I don't get any dust, and I've been using the same media for about 2 years. Holy jumpins. For about 2 years now, and I do attribute it to dryer sheets, as they are covered in dust after cleaning. I don't know how much brass I run per year, but I do load all of my 9mm and supersized Uzi subgun.
Try that again. Suppressed, yeah.
I do load all of my 9mm for my suppressed Uzi subgun, and I take it out regularly.
That's yeah, first addition. Of all, Don, I hate you.
Yes, and you
yes. suck. And please send pictures and video of you shooting said Uzi.
Said suppressed Uzi.
Yes, please.
In addition to all of the 308 and other calibers, I reload and shoot maybe 10,000 pieces per year or more. Anyhow, try the dryer sheet when cleaning your brass next time. It's free. Make sure they are used so you don't piss off the wife by using up some good old dryer laundry sheets. I'm doing all this on purpose, Don. Ask the wife to save the ones for you to play it safe. Keep up the good work with the podcast and keep going in the direction you are with a little bit of politics you started to discuss. Unfortunately, they are necessary evil, and you're either right or wrong. There's no left about it.
I love it.
Keep your powder dry, and remember, one shot, one kill. A warning shot is a confirmed miss. I'm not Ron Burgundy. That's Don from South Dakota. Thank nice. You, Don, for giving me an opportunity to mess up your perfectly good email. Suppressed Uzi, eh?
That would be cool. I'd love to have a suppressed Uzi. Steve Lee had an Uzi. Do you know that?
I did.
Yeah. Steve, you got an Uzi? Yeah.
Yeah. Crushed walnut. I have yet to try it. I would like to try it. If you can run any kind of media and clean that much brass and still be using the same media in 2 years, there's something to be said for that. And I think one of the reasons why is the crushed walnut is hard. very hard. Corn.
Now, let's make it clear that crushed walnut shell.
Yeah, crushed walnut
because
shell.
You don't put crushed walnuts in there, because let me tell you, that doesn't work.
No, it's expensive.
It is. It's tasty.
Either.
No. The thing about the corn cob media, though, is it's kind of a spongy material, and it absorbs the dirt and then breaks down. The corn cob is going to turn into dust, or the crushed walnut will turn into dust from rubbing against each other. The pieces rubbing against within the vibratory tumbler are going to cause them to break down, but they're not going to absorb the dirt from the brass like the corn cob would. The corn cob just, it turns color. How's the crushed walnut going to turn color? There's no, it's not an absorbent material. So I am looking forward to trying it. He's also using the Dillon polish. That's twice now people have suggested that. I use more than a tablespoonful, though. And the dryer sheet, who put us onto that before? 10X, Bolivar? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I'll go back to it, though. I used it a couple of times, and yeah. Who's got the next one from Karis?
I'll take it. It's jumbled, so...
It's not Karis, though.
It's Karas, I believe. Karas. Mr. Karas. He goes, "Greetings. Hate to bring up a topic that's political. Trevor, I'm sorry."
No worries.
"In the wake of the RCMP taking a tyrannical approach to the way they operate..." What's that?
Tyrannical.
Tyrannical, yeah. Tyrannosaurusical Rex.
That's right.
I've got little arms and a big head. Okay. By the way they operate, with the CZ being prohibited, et cetera.
CZ,
yes. That's what I didn't say, and I should have. It's funny, a student at school today, a lot of our students have lived in the States because we live so close to the border. They asked me, "Is it Zed or Z? I hear both. Which is it?" I'm like, "Zed, obviously. Zed's definitely the correct way." So, anyway, he says there's another...
Did I tell you that story about my daughter the other day? At supper time?
I said
something about a Zed, and she looks at me, and she goes...
What's a Zed?
Really?
She's learning her letters, right? She's five, so...
Oh.
Like, what's a Zed?
That's
anyway,
the last letter.
Sorry, continue.
No, that's cool. Hey, cute stories about your daughters are allowed. All right. Anyway, he goes, "There's another stunt that they are pulling. I was wondering if you've heard about it. Before I go on, yes, this is a rifle so cheap, it is reasonable to assume that the manufacturer also makes the toys found in Kinder Surprise eggs, but it's still worth bringing up. And for our listeners to the South, we're very sorry that Kinder Surprise eggs are now illegal in the United States."
What?
Yeah, they're illegal. Prohibited. You may not have them.
They're prohibited devices.
They are prohibited.
Why?
I don't know, but they are prohibited. You cannot take them into the States. You will get arrested. Or it'll be confiscated as a tasty, tasty treat and a little toy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It is.
Anyway, it's the Mossberg 715T, the plastic clamshell AR-15 lookalike. This rifle can be fitted with a 25-round magazine that's now being classed as prohibited because Mossberg also came out with an AR pistol version that can accept the 25-round mag.
You said virgin.
I did. I meant version, but maybe it's a virgin too. I don't know. The 715T is a popular firearm, and it has
be a pistol virgin.
You used to.
Then I bought one.
It has the potential to bring young shooters out of the woodwork when they see a cool-looking, reliable plinker. You can talk to Brian Bolivar about that. He's got one for his daughters.
That's right.
Fun to shoot and cheap. My apologies for any spelling and grammar. Oh, don't worry about it, Karas. I don't mind.
I apologize for the pronunciation.
of the pistol virgin.
Yes.
Anyway, he says, I hope it'll stir...
Tyrannical.
Tyrannical.
CZ.
Man, I butchered the whole thing. But anyway, we do understand what you're saying.
Don't worry, it's my turn next.
Yeah. We do understand what you're saying there, Karas. And for the listeners who didn't quite decipher what I said, the 715 rifle is a AR-15 lookalike, and it does accept a 25-round mag. And as the laws in Canada are, because it's a rifle and because it's a rimfire, there's no restriction on the capacity of the magazine. But because the manufacturer is now making a pistol that uses this same magazine, and they're advertising that it can use the same magazine, now that magazine is either prohibited or must be pinned to 10 rounds, because in Canada, all pistols can only have a 10-round capacity in their magazines. So It's kind of dumb when you think about it. It's like owning a Ruger 10/22 with a 25-round magazine, and then Ruger saying, "Oh, we've got a pistol too." So now all of the magazines that were for the rifle can fit in the pistol. Now you got to pin them all to 10. So all of a sudden, your rifle magazine becomes somehow more dangerous because a pistol exists.
See, they should have did what they did with the 10/22, right? You couldn't get that particular magazine because it fit both the 10/22 rifle and the 10/22 pistol. In this case, they just went straight out and banned the rifle.
The rifle's not being banned.
7.15T isn't being sent to the prohibited list?
No, it's just, I'm pretty sure it's just the magazine. I heard it was the rifle.
And as a result, there's a rumor circulating that now they have done the same thing to the 10/22, that they're going to ban the 10/22.
I don't think they can. Now, that being said, I know.
Yeah, hello. Remember but, we said I don't think they can ban the CZ-85?
That's right, yeah. And really, they can't. They did anyway. And they probably, you know, they still might do this, but it really is wrong because that is really literally just a Mossberg 700 or 710 or whatever it is in a Plinkster. Clamshell. Yeah, it's a Plinkster. It's the gun hasn't changed.
Nope.
So
that's right. But, I mean, you're using logic.
I know. I'm sorry. I will try to stop.
You got to remember who's actually working in the lab.
Yeah. And it's not me.
No. So. All right, Owen. Bring us one from RJ.
All right. RJ says, "Hey, guys, had a question for a friend of mine running for position on the board.
Why isn't your friend emailing us, RJ?
I don't know. I guess.
RJ's his b-. It's a good thing we kind of know him. All right, I'm still sorry.
Okay, so let me start again. Had a question for a friend of mine running for a position on the board at one of my ranges in London. Looking for advice, since two of you are experienced with that. He's up against the anti-gun gun owners, mainly the trap guys, or as we call them around here, the skeet guys.
Either way, FUDs.
He has helped bring IPSC and 3 Black Badge courses in the past year to the club, plus started a new gun store here in London.
Oh, another new gun store in London. That's cool. So Goebbels has competition again. I used to live in London, so I kind of know the area.
It's not about you.
Sorry, it's too late. I already said it.
Any advice or ideas to push him and his team forward? Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Team.
RJ.
RJ and Jess.
And Jess.
Well, RJ and Jess and RJ's friend. Stack the audience. That's what we do. Have all your friends there. The world is run by those who show up. If you want votes to go your way, if you want to get your buddies elected. See, you go in once with a beard and you vote, and then you go out and you shave the beard and you come back. That's how Tammany Hall did it, and damn it, that's how we do it. Actually, you shave sections, right? First you go beard, then goatee, then mustache.
Goatee, then mustache, yeah.
No, that's how we get things done. Literally, that's the only advice I can give you, is we stack the audience.
Well, yeah, there's something to be said for that. Also, everybody wants something, and you catch a lot more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. So always remember, sometimes you've got to get tough, but everybody wants something.
If you find out what they want, now
you have a bargaining chip.
Sometimes all they want is to complain. Archery, we have the FUDs as well. They're the traditional shooters. And if there are any traditional archers listening to this podcast, I don't care. You know I'm right. When I was running the Bathurst Archery Club, we wanted to buy a bow press, which is a machine used to press the limbs on a compound bow so you can remove the strings and cables and work on it. And there was only one in the whole area of northern New Brunswick, and the guy worked shift work in his little backyard. He had a back room archery shop. And you had to basically make an appointment to get there. It's not acceptable for competitive archers that need to work on their gear. So the traditional archers started to complain. Our club dues are going to pay for a piece of equipment that we will never use. So I just threw it right back at him and said, "You're absolutely right. If we're getting something, you should be getting something too. What would you like?" Silence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got nothing that you want? Well, then be quiet.
He just thought I was going to argue with him or tell him all the reasons why we should get it and why we need it. No, you're right, dude. You're right. If we're getting something, you should get something too. What do you want? Oh, that's right. You shoot a stick with a shoelace on it. It's maintained with leather. You don't need anything. I'll tell you, I'll buy some fresh glue so your points stop coming off inside our expensive targets. Go away. Take your struggle stick with you.
Your struggle stick.
Anyway, but no, Owen's right. Sometimes they want something, but sometimes I'm right. They just want to complain, but you should definitely open the lines of communication, open the door, say, you know, let's try and have it so that everybody benefits. We do scheduling at our club. Monday night rifle, Tuesday night trap, or sorry, skeets. Wednesday night is rimfire. Thursday night is open. First come, first serve. And then Friday is pistol, which actually means build stages, you poor
because because let's face it, at the end of the day, they're all members of that club. And so whether you're into what the other person is into or not, they are members of the club. They pay dues.
We're all gun owners. You know,
they're all gun owners.
Make them feel bad by telling them that you'll support them when they come for your shotgun.
Exactly.
So, you know.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. What else we got? iTunes. Matthew, go ahead, because if I read this one, I'm just going to... Yeah.
Well, it's all about you. It's ADHD
and it's
in full
so
auto.
Flattering.
All right. ADHD in full auto is the title, and it's by Barry Smurf. And this review reads, these guys are great. They can't help the fact that they're from Canada. A pro 2A podcast from a country that doesn't even have a Second Amendment. You'll have to look over Trevor's marathon length, What I Did Better Than You This Week with Gun segment.
This week it was, my nose was bleeding and I was scared. You have band-aids in your house.
And he finishes it off with, that's why iPods and iPhones have fast-forward features. It's not his fault. Chronic exposure to the Arctic cold has left him touched.
Yeah, sometimes.
And gave him a nosebleed. That's a good one. I like it. I'm sorry, Trevor, that you got tossed under the bus on it, but
no,
it was
you're
funny.
Not. No, you're
no,
not.
No, it is I'm funny. Not. And he raises a good point. I mean, we are very pro-Second Amendment here, and we don't even have a Second Amendment, but we do have the right to bear arms.
Yeah, we want them to have it.
Our right to bear arms is based on their right to bear arms. All of the law in North America is based on British common law.
That's right, yeah.
And in it, back in 16-something or other, it states... You know, that people should have arms for self-defense. We have that right. It's included in our implied laws. But our government simply doesn't recognize the fact that it's protected, whereas the American government does, and that's what makes the Second Amendment so important. So, anyway, little history lesson there, I guess. So.
Huh?
Huh? Yeah, Trevor tuned out.
No, I'm sending a text to Luke.
Of course you are. I mean, why would you pay attention and finish off the show properly with your full attention when, you know, you could send a text to Luke? I mean, that's much better use of your time.
Huh?
I'm just saying.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
What? Not yet. We've still got like 10 minutes left.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
Steve
Owen,
do you
have any shout-outs, Owen?
What?
No, my only shout out was to Filthy, and we kind of, like I say, beat that one to death. So
we certainly did. Filthy, you sent some really cool pictures. Let me hold this up to the microphone for everybody to see.
It is awesome.
It is cool. It's well done.
If I had walls in my gun room, I would hang it on it.
Yeah. I do. I've got a Garand behind me though. I mean, the Garand is kind of a good picture to have up there. So I think I'm just going to leave that. Oh, what?
It is?
It is? You don't like the Garand? Oh, it's actually an M14, but whatever.
Oh, well, that's different.
You're right. It is. It is different.
It's like a Garand, only in a smaller bullet.
Wait, what? Oh, was the Garand 30-06? That's right, wasn't it?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Ping.
Ping, right.
No magazine. Clip. A legitimate clip.
A legitimate clip.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Next shout out.
All right, well, to Nate at GOC, that's Gun Owners of Canada, he put our banner on the front page.
We've got a banner?
We've got a banner. So that's cool. If you head over to Gun Owners of Canada and check out our banner. And click on it if you want to.
This is a good gun ban.
Yeah. Banner. He's not a ban. Ah. Oh. See, it's too bad it wasn't Trevor that just insulted me there, because I could have brought this next shout out from John L., who bought a t-shirt. He ended his email with, tell Trevor that as far as a 2011 versus a 1911 goes, a turd is a turd, no matter how many times you polish it.
That's funny.
And he quotes Trevor there. That's the funniest part.
Yeah. If you so you polish a 1911 for 100 years and it turns into a polished turd.
It becomes turd, yes, basically.
Yeah. No, it becomes a 2011.
Yeah, that's what happens when you polish a 1911 for 100 years. Yeah.
It becomes a 2011. It
becomes a 2011. That's...
And then if you touch it just a few more times, it goes really, really good and becomes a block.
A block?
Yeah, I said block. I meant to say
dude.
Glock.
You're having a hard go tonight, aren't you?
I really am.
Oh, and you were right. He's into something today.
I know. I've been trying to invite him down, and he won't come down even.
I am coming down. I didn't tell you?
I'm really worried about him.
Listen, I see him twice a year now. I can't. I'm not emotionally invested enough to worry anymore.
Yeah. I'm coming to visit you next weekend.
I mean, goodness, I didn't even talk to him for a whole week.
You're coming next weekend, and I'll see you again probably in July at SummerSlam.
Well, if you'd come visit me, the road does go both ways, you know.
I've tried.
We could even all meet up at Owen sometime and like.
Stop. I hate it when we fight.
Shoot the 50 Beowulf for an hour or two. That'd be awesome.
That would be.
We could do another Is It Bulletproof with that thing. Let's. Is a pop can bulletproof for 50 Beowulf? Well, it might be. We better find out.
Boom. What pop can? But we'll call it a pop can, but really it'd be an empty keg of beer. And there's only one way to empty a keg of beer.
Shooting it with a 50 Beowulf? That's not the right answer, is it?
No, it's not.
It depends on what kind of beer.
Yeah.
The cold kind?
Well, you
went and ruined some beers for me. Thank you very much for posting that eight beers you should stop drinking right now.
Yeah,
I know. Did they have bad things in them or something?
I was surprised to see Budweiser on there. Like, really? Hello?
I know. A lot of GMO stuff and bad, high fructose corn sugar kind of thing.
Mass-produced anything, right? You're talking about the big beer companies. They're mass-producing their stuff like McDonald's mass-produces their food. You will never see me drink a bottle of Budweiser.
Right. I'm going to bring one over and hand it to you and then take a picture because I know you're going to drink it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you are.
No.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Speaking of Beowulf.
Yes.
Am I allowed to let the cat out of the bag?
Sure, why not?
Tomorrow afternoon, scheduled is to have the Press Check Ventures. I got this. I got a leak. I got an inside.
An inside leak, do you?
Scoop that tomorrow afternoon, they're going to have their samples of their Gen 2 Mag arrive. Ooh. So we won't actually have any. They won't actually have any for sale, but they'll have the samples from their new molds. So
I heard that if you're waiting on Gen 2 Mags, don't wait for them to arrive because they're almost all pre-sold. Is that true? Do you know? Is that a factual rumor?
I think they're going to have enough, but they're going to be going out very fast.
Okay, that's good because that's what I said on last week's episode of Action Shooting Radio.
they have many minions lined up to work 24/7, child labor. You know, the local sweatshops, everything.
Jason Christensen's kids are coming up.
Yeah, everybody to. to assemble because it's going to be nuts.
It really is.
I heard that if there's homemade beer on hand, that I would do that. I would help assemble mags.
Interesting. Oh. Does Budweiser count?
No. Neither does warm Dr. Pepper. Just homemade beer.
Lame. Awesome. All right. Well, we do actually have a couple other shout-outs here. One is to Rob HK. He sent us in a news link that we didn't cover, but thank you anyway. It's nice to hear from you again. And the other one is
why didn't we cover it?
Well, I don't know. Just didn't get tossed into the show notes, basically. Do you want to cover it? We can cover it if you like.
Well, I'm just saying, what's wrong with Rob? I mean, like,
where do I begin, really?
Why'd you snubble?
Where do I start? Like, seriously.
A chronological? Alphabetical.
Chronological starting from the beginning?
No, start in the middle and then go
Is
back.
There any other kind? Well, there could be. He sent in that story about some criminal getting busted for having guns or something.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
I figured it was just common sense and that it didn't really kind of stretch the norm at all for our show where criminals getting busted for having guns. I mean, criminals have guns. Yeah. Did you guys hear the story recently, actually? Somebody was pulled over for a traffic infraction and actually had two loaded pistols in shoulder holsters. This is here in Canada. That's basically the story. There's more to it, and I'll get to that in a second, but really, who wears shoulder holsters anymore? That is so
1990s. So that is so 1911.
That is... That's funny. Anyway, the news story went on to report that he had like submachine guns and Uzis and assault weapons, and basically he had a KSG. He had some 9mm restricted pistol that looked like a Uzi type firearm, a couple SKSs and like a shotgun or something. And they're like going. There was a 10/22 in there as well too. Yes, and they were all going crazy that he had assault weapons. Basically, everything there was non-restricted except for the two handguns he illegally had on him, and the 9mm quote unquote Uzi looking thing. It's like a BRS 9000 something or other. I don't know. I'm not an expert.
I want to spend a lot of time in the woods with my.
Type 97?
Yeah, just hoping and praying
that somebody comes along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
A gun?
You should see the looks I get with the KSG.
Oh, I bet.
I'm sure.
Because I go out bird hunting and stuff with it, and so I've got the flashlight mounted and a red dot and the two, the backup sights. You're walking down the road and you get people like driving into the ditch.
Awesome. It's a gun.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just a gun, and it's non-restricted.
TVs aren't floor models anymore, and Camaros look very different than they did in '67.
And they still suck.
What?
Huh? Who said that?
That's it.
Who likes Mustangs? Me. What?
Well, me too, actually. I do. Mustang is my favorite car of all time. What? You're not a Mustang guy?
Nope.
What? You're not a Camaro guy, are you?
I like the newer Camaros. I'm not sure I'm a big fan of the older Camaros.
That's too bad. I was really hoping we could be friends for much longer than this.
Yeah. It is kind of a deal breaker. You're probably a Dale, or not a Dale Earnhardt fan, but a Jeff Gordon guy too, aren't you?
Who?
Never mind.
Oh, good. You've redeemed yourself. You don't know NASCAR names.
I don't. No, I'm not interested in driving.
Going fast and turning left and coming back.
Yeah. Unless it's me.
Oh, that's funny. No. All right.
Now.
One other, the armstrader.ca.
Oh, right.
We were going to talk about that a little bit. It's a new kind of online place where you can buy and sell firearms. Cool. So if, for instance, you didn't want to use Kijiji, where apparently you get banned if you post firearms on there, I really wish I would have read the rules before I posted those pictures.
That's funny.
So apparently Kijiji's not the place to buy and sell your guns, but armstrader.ca.
I don't sell anything there anymore. I didn't realize that they were anti-gun.
They are, yes.
Too bad. Actually, yeah, sorry, Squirrel. Huge shout-out to Luke Giroux and Sells Noel for getting me a baby carriage.
Right, well, congratulations.
It's not yes. what you think.
Christina?
No, it's for the range. You get those clamps that you put on your four-wheeler for your rifle or your shotgun.
Yes.
You mount them on either side. It's one of those three-wheel jobs. Matthew, you're going to love this.
I want it.
Your gear's going to be in it too, probably, when we do matches. But anyway, you can put your shotgun and your rifle on there and your range bag and your ammo can and your LUT, and you just wheel that.
My goodness. Buggy
it has the big bicycle wheels, right?
Yes, it does.
That goes over rough terrain well. Yes. Yeah. Where did you get that?
$25 on Kijiji.
I gotta check that out.
Is it Luke Giroux? Sorry, Joe Goose. Joe Goose is the man on this one. I sent him an EMT for $25. He drove out to the boonies somewhere in St. John or Quispam. I don't know. $25, picked it up, and then Sal took it home with a power truck.
Nice.
Well, I've got one of those actually, but it's not
getting turned into a gun carrier, is it?
I'm not going to lower myself to not being able to carry my own gear around.
Dude,
I'm with Trevor because they put in that stupid rule where you can't sling your firearms whenever you're walking stage to stage.
Yeah, it's either cased or muzzle up. So
I'll put in the case.
All right. Well, I used to do it too. I had a double case, right? Shotgun and rifle the same, but it's just
it is easier on the cart. I do like those carts because, like you said, your range bag goes on there, your lunch, everything.
Yeah.
It's not about being tough, Owen. It's about being fresh
efficient.
For each stage.
Yeah.
I had a knight tell me one time, and he was like,
"What? Pardon? Wait. What? What?
I had a knight tell me. What are we playing? Dungeons
of the Round Table, kind of.
Yeah.
Was his last name Pendragon?
How many hit points did he have?
That kick both of your butts one-handed.
I'll shoot
Not if I have my Glock, you can't.
Real warriors carry all their own weapons to the field.
I'm carrying them?
On wheels.
Wheels.
Sure, so they carried their cannons around, did they?
They
carried their trebuchets on their back? Is that what they did?
Use cannons.
What about their trebuchets, huh?
They use trebuchets either.
So the horse was a decoration. You're telling me the horse was just there for a pet?
And a tasty meal.
Look in the mirror right now and tell me what color your eyes are. I bet they're brown. And you know why they're brown? Because you're so full of it, it's backing up your eyes.
Well,
all right, how about signing off and getting out of here?
I think we're going to have to.
Worst show ever. Worst show ever.
Trevor, it was nice to have you back, man.
I'm sorry. All right, be sure to join one or both of Canada's National Firearms Association.
This is no longer a request, people.
Yeah, that's right. The Canadian Shooting Sports Association, National Firearms Association. I don't want to hear any belly aching about I like what one group does more than what the other group does. Because here's the thing. Here's the 411 on this. Yes, they take different approaches, but their end game is the same. Both of these associations' sole reason to exist is to get you rights, freedoms, and privileges with your firearms. They take different approaches, but they still want the same thing, and that's to improve your life as a gun owner.
Can I expand on that a little bit?
When I'm done, you can do whatever you want.
Can I do it right now?
Fine.
Could I also make an appeal to those of you who are inclined to argue with people in the other camp to not do it publicly?
Yeah, I mean, there's no... You make us look bad. The antis don't argue about which guns should and which guns shouldn't be banned. The antis are united, and it's more important than ever for us to be united. And they love to watch us get divided, and they're winning.
Even if you think the other side is doing it wrong, just remember that we are all fighting for the same goal. Encouragement is a better tactic than slinging mud and calling names and tossing each other under the bus. Let's stay united.
You're not going to get your wish. These two associations are not going to join.
No.
There are multiple associations in the United States, the New Jersey Second Amendment Foundation, Jews for the Rights and Preservation of Firearms, the NRA, obviously. Listen, we only have two, for crying out loud.
Join them both.
Maybe we have more than two.
Those are the two major ones.
Yes.
Join them both. It's not expensive. I mean, I even bought a family membership for one of them. I can't remember, the NFA, I think.
Good for you.
Which covers Jewel and I. And the insurance then now covers Jewel and I. And the insurance is so cheap. Just get it. It makes sense.
A lot of value for that insurance.
Oh, yes.
Please be sure to check us out on Gun Owners of Canada, because they are cool and they keep getting cooler. They're growing more and more every day, and they support us, so we're supporting them. Get behind Gun Owners of Canada. Check it out. Join the forum if you haven't. Always running really cool contests.
Oh, yes.
Go show them some love. Like us on Facebook, because Paul Lathrop thinks that the Polite Society podcast has more likes than us, and maybe they do, but I'll never admit to it. Like us, we're at 971 and counting. It's amazing how quickly Action Shooting Radio is catching up. Just saying.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've got 320 in 10 weeks.
Nice. That's good.
Yeah, it's crazy. We were like, you know what you got to do? You got to get on Talking Lead.
That's what you got to do.
That's what you got to do.
Yep.
And I sent them an email, and the bums never replied.
Ah, you imagine.
Yeah, so Zeke, like, what the heck, man?
Call them out now.
We got a couple of networks we also want you to check out, and that is the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, which actually Reno put on Facebook that I work there.
Yes, same here. And it turns out it was a bug. It was not supposed to, but I accepted anyway. So I now work at the Reno Viola Web Radio Network headquarters. So
awesome.
I will be expecting my first paycheck, Reno, anytime now. Just send that right along.
Yeah, twice as much as last week would be great.
That would be awesome.
And also, Crusader Podcast Network. Tons of great material on each of those networks. And Crusader is cool because it's an international network. There's American pro gun shows and Canadian pro gun shows on there. Yep. And, of course, that's owned and operated by Joe Chetwood of Crusader Weaponry, the makers of the awesome, fantastic Slipstream weapons lube, which is good in your gun and even better on toast. I'm Ron Burgundy. Thank you for listening.
Stay safe out there, everyone. We'll see you next week.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's time.
time to get a gun.